got on Facebook. How's everybody doing today? Hotep, hey, this is Michael M. Hotep. All right, we're starting on Facebook Live, and we should be live on YouTube. How's everybody doing? Hey, this is Michael M. Hotep, founder of the African History Network, host of the African History Network show. I'm a talk show host, researcher, lecturer, and writer. It is Wednesday, July 10th, 2019, and I'm here with two sisters you have seen before, most likely. We have Jice Johnson and Michi X. And we're here to talk about the Black Agenda Tour 2019 coming to Chicago Friday, July 12th, and Saturday, the big day, July 13th. How are you sisters doing today?
I'm good. I'm good.
All right, Michi. How you doing, Jice? You all right, Jice? Can you hear me?
I'm good.
Okay. All right. Excellent. Excellent. So, look, we know that the Black Agenda Tour kicked off in Detroit, and I was there for that. The David Banner, you two sisters, and I was one of the panelists. And now it's coming to Chicago. So, tell people what Chicago. Either one of you can start with that.
You said tell them what?
Yeah,
tell them about, did you say tell them about Chicago?
Yeah, what can they expect in Chicago, and what exactly is the Black Agenda Tour? Michi. Go ahead, Michi. Can you hear me, Michi? Go ahead. Okay, let's go ahead with Jice. What exactly is the Black Agenda Tour, and what can people expect in Chicago?
Absolutely. So, Black Agenda is a tour that we're doing where we're really discussing Black unity, not in a nuanced way, but in a way where, you know, we really end up how we have to work together, the areas that we're attacking this country, that it's important for us to rally together despite our individual differences. It is a tour that is really rooted in solutions, tangible solutions that the individual and the community can participate in. So you will leave this tour, you will leave this event walking away with something tangible that you can actually apply to your life that really as a collective and as a whole helps us to move a step closer towards freedom. So.
All right. Okay. Excellent. Now, Michi, you are the brainchild behind this. Let people know, how did you come up with this idea of this Black Agenda Tour?
You can hear Jice, because I can't hear nothing.
Yeah, I can hear you. Go ahead.
I can hear you. I can't hear Michael.
Okay, go ahead. You can't. Okay, turn up a little bit.
You can't hear Michael.
No, his screen is frozen. I don't see anything, but I see you. His isn't moving.
My screen is frozen. I'm not sure why the screen is frozen here. Let's see something here.
So I can hear, you can hear me.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay.
Technology.
I'll go ahead and explain how she came up with the idea of the Black Agenda Tour.
Okay. I'm going to explain how you came up with the Black Agenda Tour. You can't hear
me. Is that what he's asking? Just tell me what he's asking. Okay. So now we're talking about how did I come up with the Black Agenda?
Right.
Okay, so let me answer that question that I didn't hear. The Black Agenda was actually born out of my pain. Like a lot of us as Black people in this country, we endure a lot. But I went through some really horrific things in my life with my son going through the school to prison pipeline. I've also lost a brother who was murdered in prison by the guards, but a lot of other things. And I just remember at a time when, you know, Michael Brown, Tamir Rice, all of those things were happening. And I was just at a point of really depression of what was going on in my life and what I was seeing happening to our people in this country. So I kind of isolated myself in my room for about 2 years. Shout out to my mom, who helped me with my kids. And when I emerged from that room, from turning off the TV, from studying all of the ways that we're attacked and what's happening to us, so that I had a full understanding of it, as well as looking at all the other movements before now, right, for our people, what worked, what didn't work, where did we make mistakes? And then I emerged out of that room with a plan called the Black Agenda, and I wanted to put it in place so that we could get somewhere. I know also earlier, Jice, you were saying as far as what people, you know, walk away with, I want to express more so that It's not just the, you know, conference or you feel motivated. Yes, we're giving tangible solutions. I believe that Black people in this country are upset and we do want change. A lot of us don't understand how to create that change. So we're giving them those solutions on any level that people want to get in. Every person, you know, doesn't bring the same ability to the movement. We all have our own places, but there's something for everybody to do. And I do want to say that this is also the first phase of a plan across this nation, right? So we are talking about unity and what unity really looks like in a realistic way, how we come together and how we have an understanding. And then there will be another level, and then there will be a final level because the ultimate goal is to get free. But we won't discuss what those levels are. You got to kind of be with the Black agenda. We ain't telling everybody our plans, right? We make a lot of mistakes doing that. So, yeah, that's basically how it was birthed. And we're actually in the first phase of the Black agenda that will last for a couple years, and then we'll move into the second phase.
All right. So, it's coming up in Chicago, the Query Event Center, on Saturday, July 13th. And then you have training for community organizations on Friday, July 12th. All right, Jice, talk about what's taking place on Friday and give people the website also.
Absolutely. So the website is www.community.com. What is happening on Friday is our United Front workshop. And what we are doing is we are building an alliance across the country with organizations that are on the ground, boots on the ground, doing the work inside of the community. And so as a part of that, we are wanting to start these conversations with organizations, really digging into what leadership looks like in organizations, accountability looks like in organizations, and how do we begin to craft our code across the country where we can hold these organizations accountable, but also help to build the capacity. We often hear about, we don't know that these organizations exist. We don't know where to go for resources. That seems to be a pretty common complaint inside of the community. And the organizations, they are there. They do exist, right? And so how do we get a greater sense of awareness? How do we start movements without making it something that's social? You know, Michi just literally was like, we're not getting ready to tell y'all all the plans. That's one of the mistakes we make, right? So how do we pull back and still spread the word without making everything, you know, a hashtag? So we're going to be meeting with those organizations on Friday, a Black organization that serves the Black community that want to participate. You can come to that training. It will be held at the Black Mall in Chicago.
The Black Mall. Okay. And if you have the address, you want to give the address, let people know about that.
You always ask me about the address. I need to make sure I have that.
All right. Let's go on the website, theblackagendaontour.com, theblackagendaontour.com. So you can visit the website. We posted it here on the thread on Facebook and on YouTube. Okay. Let's go back to Michi. All right. Michi, can you hear me? Okay, Michi, can't hear me. All right. okay. Turn up on. Okay, so Michi, you talked about, so on Saturday, David Banner is going to be there. Let people know what's going to happen Saturday. You have David Banner, myself, a panel discussion. Ask Michi to talk about that on Saturday. It's going to take place.
You said give more detail of what's going to take place on Saturday?
Yes.
Okay, you were breaking up. You can hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, so Saturday, what we're going to do is we have a full-day event that's going on. I don't even know if I like to call it an event, right? We end up making history and creating some freedom. That's what we're doing. We're cooking that up in the event, and we're going to serve it when it's ready, right? But what you're going to find, first of all, when the doors will open up at 9 o'clock so people can come in and get their seats. At 10, we'll get started. I open up and give the overall of the Black Agenda and talk about our acronym PEOPLEM, which talks about the five ways that we are under warfare and attack in this country. And once I break those all down, then we will go into some other speakers that will in detail touch in some of those areas. We will also have entertainment. I'm excited by Golden Child. If you don't know who he is, then you need to find out. If you're Chicago, you probably know about the young man because he is doing the damn thing, right? And then as well as that, we're going to have a Black Market at lunchtime where we break and we spend dollars with all the black vendors and the black people are there with black products and, you know, hand that money that we have off to a black face instead of another race. And so we will do that. Right. And then we will come back and Jice will, you know, get y'all all ready for what she talks about with BBI and economics. And then we're going to end it out with David Banner and, you know, and we have a panel. You will be there, Michael Imhotep. Yes. So he will be speaking and he'll be on the panel. We also have a young man named Young Activist. We're really proud of. He's very young and he's in the community, you know, and giving messages to the youth that are his age. He's like 20 years old, but we're very grateful that he's a part of this because we're trying to reach everybody, right? Like, as we say, our hashtag got the whole hood with us. So we need everybody, right, from the lowest to the highest of our people, and we need the babies and all the way up to the elders. So we're excited about everybody that we have. We think it represents our community really well, right, in all age groups and in all diversity when it comes to our people.
Absolutely. All right. So when I on my show, we talked about why having a black agenda is so important. And the reason why I asked that question is because some people say, well, a rising tide lifts all boats. All right. And even though that will have some of an impact, if you are disproportionately negatively impacted by everything, you have to have specific policies that address those issues. So Jice and then maybe Amici, why is having a black agenda so important in the first place?
Well, first of all, if we were going to talk about a rising tide lifts all boats, you know, let's address that. That would mean lifting up the black community, right? And so because of that disproportionate, you know, advantage, and it's kind of like that picture of, you know, everyone standing on the same thing and you know, but if we're all different heights, right, it doesn't necessarily mean that we can all see the ball game. I don't know if you've seen that picture before. Right. The kids, you know, looking over the fence, right? So I think we have to really discuss what equity looks like and understanding that equality and equity are different. But which is a conversation in and of itself. But I guess to really, you know, dig into that question, first of all, nobody really addresses or questions whether or not anyone or any other socioeconomic group has an agenda, right? I mean, there is a very clear LGBTQ, whatever other acronyms that you want to attach to that agenda. They are very clear that they have a policy that they want to put in place. They have legislation that they want to, you know, get passed. They have reforms that they want to, you know, make public, changing bathrooms to changing pronouns, you know, to changing school curriculums. I mean, that is an agenda, right?
Well, they actually presented one. There was a 54-page agenda that they presented to President Barack Obama in the first 60 days of his first term. There was a 54-page agenda they presented to him.
Right. Well, and
Michi. I feel like you're having a really good discussion. I'm not privy to what we talk.
No, no.
Because I can't hear Michael. His screen is frozen on my side. So I wasn't sure what he was asking or what we were discussing.
Hey, Michi, try to do this. Try to disconnect and come back on. Hold on. Let's see. Let's try this.
He's not frozen on mine.
Yeah.
Okay. Come back on. We'll have a comeback on. Go ahead, Jice.
Yeah, so I was just saying that, you know, ultimately, you know, not that people have to agree with your agenda, but people understand having an agenda, right? Like, they get that. So when people ask, why do we need a black agenda? I think that's a ridiculous question. No one questions a Jewish agenda. No one questions an LGBTQ agenda. No one questions an Asian agenda. People who have a need or people who are grouped together who have a similar, you know, need, desire, want, something that they can agree on and they want to move forward, they come together and they create an agenda and they figure out how to strategically move that forward. Well, the black community has that need. And so whether or not you agree with the agenda is a whole entire separate question than why do we have one or why do we need an agenda?
Okay. Can you hear me, Michi?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay.
Join in on the conversation.
All right. So the reason why that's so important is because first of all, as I explain to people, and I've been studying politics for a number of years, I've been doing the African History Network show for 9 years, and I've actually been involved in writing public policy for the city of Detroit. Okay. Major city. So my perspective on this is different than other people who have only dealt with theory. Okay, I've actually been involved in writing public policy. What people have to understand is that, one, it's illegal to write a law that is only for one race of people. However, unless it's dealing with reparations or something like that, and the reason why, and Michi has to reconnect for some reason, but it's okay. The reason why is because because of law, it's discriminatory. You won't be able to do it. Okay, and this is something that we got to check, Michi. And this is something out. This is something that I found out firsthand when I was sitting on the committee to rewrite Executive Order 22 under the Kwame Kilpatrick administration. Okay, as the lead counsel, the corporate counsel explained that to us. Now, I already knew that from having dealt with contracts for the county of Wayne and also for the state of Michigan. But you can write laws that disproportionately negatively impact a marginalized group. Okay. Unless it's something outside of reparations. And a lot of people don't know that in the 2009-2010 stimulus package, there was almost $200 million in reparations paid to Filipino Americans that went back to an agreement going back to World War II. That was okay. In the 2009-2010 stimulus package. Okay. So, but when we talk about a Black agenda, it does not mean that you are against other people. What agenda does, one, a Black agenda is not something that we wait on a politician to present to us. That's what we present to them.
Absolutely.
We have to understand the difference between a pushing issues and pushing demands and sitting back waiting for somebody to present something to you. OK, number two, an agenda gives you a standard. An agenda is maybe Michi trying to call me. I don't know. No, that's not OK. 800. An agenda also gives you a standard for you to evaluate the candidates on as well. That's the other thing. So you don't get caught up in a candidate having a viral moment. You don't get caught up in a candidate having an emotional moment and everybody sympathizes and then say, let's vote for this person. No, you have standards. And this is what's lacking. OK, right. And we'll wait on Michi to come back on. Let me try to go ahead, Jace.
Well, I wanted to add to that because I think that what we have to recognize as a people is that in order to push that agenda,
right.
At the end of the day, you know, our populace counts, right? We're a decent part of the population, but even at
12 million, 47.
Right. But what we have to do is we have to recognize that we have to, and this is where that unity piece comes together, right? Mm-hmm. With regards to the Black agenda is we have to be able to unify. We don't have to like each other, right? I don't ever have to like you. We don't have to sit down and break bread together. We don't ever have to do business together. There's a lot of things we don't have to, you know, to do together, but we have to recognize where there are certain things that benefit both of us. Right. And, you know, our families, our communities, our pockets, right? And when it comes to those things, those are the places where we have to be able to put aside our individual differences and then be able to leverage our collective power in order to move policy forward that helps us. And what I think happens is, and this was actually something that was asked in Denver, was a question around, you know, Black around capitalism is really what it was. It wasn't specific to Black folks, but it was really around capitalism and saying, you know, how can we push an agenda around capitalism if we understand that capitalism, how did they frame it? They said if we understand that capitalism creates, it exploits people. I think that's how they, you know, that exploits people. And I said, well, the reality is that we live in a capitalistic society, and now the majority of Like first world countries are also capitalistic, but capitalism in and of itself is not really the problem. The problem is that policy supports your economic structure, right? And so if you have corrupt policy or if you have poor policy, then that's what makes your capitalistic, you know, society very poor. So for example, while we're over here capitalizing on our sicknesses, you have other countries who have learned to capitalize on people being healthy. Right. So it's really that we have poor policy. And if we don't understand that we have to begin to leverage our collective power to affect the policies that affect our life, then it can be difficult for us to see how our unity is really a factor, how our unity is important.
Right. And then we're trying to get Michi back on. She is in, I think she's in Denver, Colorado. So the internet is here. It does not seem to be a strong concept of shit. Okay. All right. So we have Michi back. All right. Yes. Okay. Can you hear me, Michi?
Yeah, I can hear everybody.
Okay. Okay. Now, you talk about how you talk about a political agenda and a community agenda. Okay. How explain to people why it's important for the Black community, for African Americans, to have a political agenda and what a community agenda is. And the reason why, once again, I ask that is because oftentimes we're taught that what's good for America is good for Black America. And sometimes that's not the case. So explain that.
Well, I think when you say a community agenda, I heard you say something earlier when I was trying to get on, as far as, you know, that we don't need to wait for somebody to give us what our agenda is. Nobody does that. We need to tell them what it is we need. So first of all, we have to get the people together. I think that in this country, a lot of our people don't understand politics. We don't understand how it works for us, and we don't use it in the right manner, right? Because we don't have that knowledge. For the most part, we are blindly conditioned to check the blue box. And even if you know what one, you know, politician in the blue is doing, the rest of them you don't know. You just mark blue going down the box, right? But we know that the blue party has not done anything for us, just like the red party doesn't. So I would say the reason why there is a importance for a political agenda, which first cannot come about until we have the community agenda and we unite our people and give them an understanding on how they use that power. But everything that we struggle with comes back to politics. That's why it's important, right? The water that's pumped into your city, the fact that your schools don't get the right teaching, the fact that Detroit had, what, 103 schools, the water be shut down because it was lead in the water, right? Right, the communities that you live in, the fact that there's a liquor store in every corner in your hood, but in the white communities, they don't do that. All of that, right? The long sentences your children are spending in prison, the school-to-prison pipeline, the fact that they have employed the criminal justice system to be the disciplinarians of the school system now. Like, all of that, everything that I could write down right now that we go through, it all comes back to politics. And I think that's the big part that we don't understand. Everything that happens to us in this country is political. So we don't understand that, though. So first, we have to get our community agenda together and rally the people, because we really can't push a political movement of what we want if we don't have the people understanding and backing the movement. So we got to do that first. We can't put the cart before the horse.
Right. Exactly.
I agree with that. I think if we don't get how policy affects our lives, that's why we don't see it as important.
Right.
Because we just don't get that it literally runs and governs every day of our lives. And so that's why we have so many people who are very highly focused in on the presidential election. Mm-hmm. And not that the presidential election isn't an important election, but I think we don't give enough weight to our local elections and how much our local elections affect what happens. What happens in your city is different than what happens in your county, than what happens in your state, than what happens in, you know, on a federal level. And so, just like everything else, there are levels to this, and we're not playing by the rules of the game, right? We don't even know the rules of the game.
Exactly. We don't understand the rules of the game, and we don't understand how to put points on the board. So it's like playing football, and you don't know the difference between a first down and a touchdown, and you wonder why you don't have any points on the board. When we deal with politics, you know, as I teach and explain to people, politics is the legal distribution of scarce wealth, power, and resources. The legal distribution of scarce wealth, power, and resources, and the writing of laws, statutes, ordinances, amendments, and treaties, their adoption, interpretation, and enforcement. So when you talk about local government is extremely important. When we talk about holding police accountable and police misconduct, your state legislatures and your governors have more power over that than the federal government. That's more controlled at the state level and the governor, because the governor signs those state laws in the law. That's more controlled at the state level than the federal level. A lot of people don't understand this. The other thing is, you gotta focus on the U.S. Congress, the House of Representatives, and the U.S. Senate, especially the Senate, because all the candidates that are talking right now, probably about 90%, 80 to 90% of what they want to do has to pass through Congress. What people don't understand about the H.R. 40 and reparations, if Mitch McConnell is still Senate Majority Leader, the debate about reparations is not even coming to the U.S. Senate floor because he won't allow it. No bill is going to be voted on dealing with reparations as long as Mitch McConnell is Senate Majority Leader. This is why he has to be voted out of office. And Democrats, and I need the Democrat and the Republican, but I understand politics, Democrats have to take back control of the U.S. Senate. Okay, and so many of our people don't understand how these things come into play and how they impact us on a daily basis. All right, let's bring Michi back on, and then we'll wrap up here. So, Michi, let people know where the tour is going next after Chicago. Let people know where it's going next. How can people get more information? How can people get tickets? Did you hear me? Can't hear me? Okay, let her know what I just said, Jace. I don't think she can hear me.
Are you able to hear? Can you hear me?
Hey, Michi, can you hear me?
I don't think she can hear.
Michi, can you hear? I don't think she can hear either one of us. Okay, hold on.
I can't hear them any goddamn way.
You can't hear us?
I can't hear nothing.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, you go ahead and answer that question.
I'm sorry, tell me what you wanted to know again.
Yeah, number one, let people know how they can get information about the Black Agenda Tour coming to Chicago and other cities, okay? Yes. And what they need to do, okay? Go ahead and let them know.
So go to the blackagendaontour.com. All the dates are listed there. All the tickets are up for sale. There are still some early bird tickets in other cities. We are going to be in Chicago this Saturday. And I think we're going on August 1st. We're going to be in Atlanta. Then we're going to head over to Brooklyn. Then we are headed to DC, Oakland, and Houston.
Right.
In that order. and so you want to go over to the Black Agenda on Tour.
Yeah.
Perfect. Oakland, you want to go over to the blackagendaontour.com. Now you can also text Black Agenda to 484848. And then we will send out text message updates. So those are two different ways. You can go to the Black Agenda on Tour. You can sign up on the email list. You can find out when we'll be in a city near you. You can get your tickets online. You can find out more information about the Black Agenda. We have our acronym up there. We have a little bit of an explanation up there about what the Black Agenda is, how it's operating. And then you can text Black Agenda to 484848. And that will also give you information and keep you up to date.
All right. And I know that there's a discount on youth tickets, people 25 and under. There's a discount for that.
12 mm-hmm. and under is free. 13 to 25 is $25. If you're 25 and under, it's $25. If you are a child, it is free. And if you are a real baby, it's free. And also, if you're in Chicago, you can put in the code CHI. So you can put in SHI and you guys can get a discount off your ticket there using the code SHI. So I think that's everything. Oh, okay. You know what? Also follow us. So we have our Facebook and our Instagram is the Black Agenda on Tour. And you really want to go over on YouTube, especially all of you folks who are on YouTube, go over to the Black Agenda on Tour YouTube page. Don't worry, there's nothing there yet, but you want to start following because we have some great things that are going to be coming on that platform.
All right. Excellent. Excellent. Okay. And then let me see something here. I'm posting this here on YouTube. Okay, Query Event Center, 2423 East 75th Street, Chicago, Illinois. So we got that for, that's for Saturday, July 13th. Okay, let's try to bring Michi back on here. We need to connect. I think Michi dropped off. Yeah, because she's having internet connection problems there. All right, but 12 and under is free. Okay, so that's good. We want the youth to get this information also. So
just know that if you listen to myself, Michi, or David Banner, cuss words will not be spared. But if you're good with your child being in there, we're good with your child being in there. Because
she said cuss words will not be spared. Okay, yeah.
And we get that question, and so I just want to be clear about that because there are some parents who, you know, they don't want
to expose their children to, you know, the foul language. And I say that our children have a lot more to worry about than foul language. That's almost the least of their worries. But if that's your belief and that's what you, you know, that's what you feel, just know coming in, David Banner, Michi X, and myself, we definitely have some profanity in our conversation. There's not a lot of sexual conversation, but there is profanity.
Okay.
For people who are thinking about bringing their children.
All right. Okay.
Just want to make sure y'all know.
All right. And then we're trying to get Michi back here, see if we can get her back on. It's re-prompting her to come back on. Okay. And so, yeah, David Banner will be there as well. We've seen David Banner in this Christmas. He's in NDIRE's latest video as well, that's burning up the charts and burning up the internet also. Okay, so he'll be there as well. He brings a very good, interesting perspective. I'll be speaking also. I'm going to deal with understanding principles of political self-defense. Okay, it's not violent or anything, but it's understanding how politics works, principles of political self-defense. Okay, so all right, Jice, go ahead with any last words. And then let me see, maybe a couple questions here. Lori on Facebook said, thanks for the info. We have people watching on YouTube as well. I missed some of the comments here on Facebook. But go ahead, Jice, if there's anything else you want to say.
No, just a couple of shout outs. Want to make sure that we shout out our host and partner, Shay J. And also, yeah, one of the other speakers that will be in Chicago is going to be Cassiopeia Uhuru. And so she is the co-founder of the Black Moth. So we're really excited to have her on. She's doing some dope.
Cassiopeia. Yeah, yes. Yeah, the Black Moth. Okay. Now Friday, the training is at the Black Moth. Is that community training at the Black Moth? Is that correct?
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
So that is a free workshop. Even if you did not get tickets, you can come to that workshop if you are an organization. So this is not if you are retail. This is not if you sell clothes and lotion and hair products and jewelry and CDs. This is if you have a Black-owned organization. So you do have youth services or housing services. You have business services, right? So this is if you are a Black-owned organization. We have the United Front workshop happening from 6:30 to 8:30 at the Black Mall. You can come in and we will be discussing, again, building that alliance across the board, across the country. And this workshop is happening in every city. So when we finish this tour, we will have a synthesis of what these organizations, what our organizations believe across the country.
Okay, excellent. So community organizations come on out Friday also, and it's free for community organizations on Friday. I think when I talked to you all before, you're still looking for sponsors in certain cities. You're looking, you still have, if people want to be vendors in certain cities, what should they do?
Yes. So for Chicago, we are sold out for vendors. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you. Go ahead. Chicago sold out.
So in Chicago, we're booked for vendors, but you can catch us in all the other cities. So Atlanta, Brooklyn, D.C., Houston, we have vendor spaces available. So you can actually, on the website, there's also a form. If you would like to be a vendor, you can select which city. And yes, absolutely. This is an event that's put on by us, right? So we don't have corporate sponsors. So if you, if your organization, if your company, if you are in alignment with building Black unity and really, you know, having a tangible solutions conversation with our communities, you know, you can donate to this cause. This has really been funded out of the pockets of Michi X and myself, and Shay J. And this is because we believe in what we're doing. And so we have very much skin in the game. So, you know, this isn't, you know, saying just to donate so that we can, you know, pocket. Not that we shouldn't be able to pocket from the work that we're doing, but just know that we're not pocketing. We are, you know, this is a labor of love and commitment to our community. And if you want to support these efforts, you can definitely go right on over to the website. You can donate and you can also sponsor. So if you want your brand aligned with what we are doing, you can actually sponsor. If you have you know, things that you want to make sure get put out to the Black community, if you want to sponsor with dollars, all of those things are necessary. If you want to sponsor certain aspects of the tour, if you want to help with travel, if you want to help with our staging and the cost of, you know, venues. There are multiple ways that you can get involved. If you have a venue that you think would be, you know, good and can house the event, those are all types of things that we need and that we're looking for. Everything we're doing is in the Black community. Everything you've been to, everything you were going to is a Black-owned venue, Black-owned, you know, Black-owned everything, right? Black-owned printers, Black-owned venue, Black-owned event centers. I mean, party places, you know, everything is circulating the Black dollars. So as you pour into what we're doing, we're pouring back into the community.
You know, Dr. Linda Jeffries, Professor Jane Small, two of my teachers, they talk about the pyramid principle. When I teach, I talk about it as well. The foundation of the pyramid is African history and culture. It gives us our VIPs, our values, our interests, and our principles. It gives us that cultural paradigm that we see reality through. It influences our economic empowerment. It influences the type of businesses we have, what we do with our money, and that it also influences our political empowerment as well, okay, our politics. So we have to have all three. It's not just economic empowerment, because you can have economics, right, and still have a colonized European mindset and do things that are destructive with the money.
Absolutely.
So it's not just the history and culture, because you can have the history and culture and still be broke and not control the politics in your own community. So we have the synthesis of all three of those. Okay. All right. So the Black Agenda on tour.com for more information, if you want to become a sponsor, if you want to become a vendor, if you have a venue, and then just quickly, the dates I have it up here on the website. Atlanta is August 3rd, 2019. Brooklyn is August 24th. Oakland, California, October 12th. Washington, D.C., October 26th. Houston, Texas, November 9th. So a lot of those cities I'll be in on the tour as well.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So look, Jice, I want to thank you for coming on, and meet you having problems getting back on as well. I will see you all Saturday, July 13th, there at the Query Event Center in Chicago. Be sure everybody follow them on social media. What's the social media again, Jice?
It's the Black Agenda on Tour.
Okay, the Black Agenda on Tour on social media. And everybody, hey, remember at the African History Network, we focus on, okay. All right, take care, Jice. I'll see you Saturday, all right?
All right, take care. Thank you.
No problem. Peace. Okay, everybody, hey, remember at the African History Network, we focus on educating, empowering, and inspiring people of African descent throughout the diaspora and around the world. I teach my online course tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Ancient Kemet, the Moors, and the Ma'afa, Understanding the Transatlantic Slave Trade, What They Didn't Teach You in School. Understanding the Transatlantic Slave Trade, What They Didn't Teach You in School. So if you haven't registered for that, you can do that at AfricanHistoryNetwork.com, AfricanHistoryNetwork.com. We do a thousands of years of history. Tonight is class four. We do it live. All the classes are archived, so you can watch on demand. You can watch from around the world, and we'll post the information. We'll post the information here on the broadcast on YouTube and on Facebook. Okay, and tonight we'll continue dealing with some of the history of the Moors in Europe and what led to their downfall. And I'm going to deal with some evidence of the Moors also in newspaper articles, like in everyday conversation, newspaper articles, things like that. Some things that you all have seen, but don't really connect that to the history of the Moors. And we understand that the 800-year occupation of Europe by the Africans known as the Moors, who go in 711 A.D., into what was then known as the Iberian Peninsula, today known as Spain and Portugal, that's going to ultimately lead to the transatlantic slave trade happening. Because when we understand the transatlantic slave trade chronologically, is really the Europeans getting revenge on African people for what took place with the Moors in Europe. It's all the transatlantic slave trade is not really the beginning of something. In some instances, it is the beginning, but it's really a continuation of the fights and the wars and things like this between the Africans and Europeans in Europe. Okay. So we'll deal with that tonight. We posted the link here, and it's also at our website, AfricanHistoryNetwork.com. As soon as you register, you can watch the first three classes. Class four is tonight. This is an 8-week, 16-hour online course, Ancient Kemet, the Moors, and the Ma'afa, Understanding the Transatlantic Slave Trade, What They Didn't Teach You in School. Okay. 2019 edition. Last time I taught this class live was September 2017, I think it was. There have been a lot of new archaeological discoveries, new discoveries like the Clotilda slave ship that came into Alabama in about June or July of 1860, last known slave ship that came into the U.S., okay, even though it was illegal at the time. All right. And that's based upon Article 1, Section 9 of the U.S. Constitution. And that many of our people don't understand, which ties right into how politics impacts every aspect of our life. All right. So, you know, one of the things we deal with is the U.S. Constitution, because the foundation for the fugitive slave laws of 1793 and 1850 are based upon Article 4, Section 2 of the U.S. Constitution. One of the legal arguments for reparations is based upon Article 1, Section 9 of the U.S. Constitution as well. So we do with thousands of years of history. We do all this information. It's at our website, AfricanHistoryNetwork.com, AfricanHistoryNetwork.com, right on the homepage, and we posted the links here as well. So we normally do it Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Ancient Kemet. Kemet, one of the original names for Egypt, Kemet meaning land of the blacks, Ancient Kemet, the Moors, and the Ma'afa, understanding the transatlantic slave trade, what they didn't teach you in school. If you've taken this online course with me anytime in the past, email me at customerservice@AfricanHistoryNetwork.com. customerservice@AfricanHistoryNetwork.com. We'll enroll you 50% off. Okay, the full course is $80, regularly $130. There's about 36 hours of bonus content, which includes the full class of when I taught before. So you get the full online course. You can watch from around the world. There's about 36 hours of bonus content as well. Okay. And that goes to help support the African History Network, because it takes a lot to teach this online course also, even though I've done it in the past. It's constant research and takes a lot to do this. Okay. Wendy asks, no Los Angeles states. Now there's Oakland, California, not Los Angeles, for the Black Agenda Tour, but there will be Oakland, California, October 12th. I think I'll be able to make that trip also October 12th. Now, it's interesting because October 12th is Columbus Day. October 12th is the date in 1492 that Columbus landed in what today we call the Bahamas. Okay. And we know that Columbus, and we talk about Cristobal Colon or Christopher Columbus. Columbus is very crucial to the spread of slavery, the transatlantic slave trade. He's crucial to laying the foundation of racism, slavery, capitalism, and exploitation of indigenous people. Columbus is crucial to that. His four voyages start on August 3rd, 1492. We see Columbus goes into Puerto Rico, Honduras, Panama, Cuba, Jamaica, Haiti, and these are the Spanish. And the Portuguese were the first ones involved in the transatlantic slave trade right about 1440. The Spanish are right behind them. And we're going to see the Spanish and the Portuguese and the British and the French, okay, are fighting over these new lands that Europeans are conquering. They're fighting for the riches. They're setting up sugarcane plantations, okay? And we're going to see that initially a lot of these countries are going to fall into the hands of the Spanish or the Portuguese, but then end up in the hands of the British and then the French and things like this. Okay, so these same Europeans who have been fighting each other for hundreds of years, when they were collectively known as Germanic people or barbarians, the Anglos, the Saxons, the Jutes, the Alans, the Picts, the Lombards, Vandals, Visigoths, okay, things like this, they're going to be barbarians. They're going to form kingdoms. Those kingdoms are going to be turned into nations. They're going to be turned into nations. The Franks go into France, the Anglos and the Saxons. They're not just going to Ireland along with the Jutes. They also go into England. England's named after the Anglos. So these groups of Europeans, collectively known as barbarians or Germanic people, are going to form kingdoms. And then those kingdoms are going to form into nations. And these nations have been fighting each other for hundreds of years. So when the transatlantic slave trade starts, these same Europeans that have been fighting for hundreds of years, each other for hundreds of years and killing each other for hundreds of years, they're going to continue to do this over the new land that is being stolen. They didn't discover it. They stole it. There was already people there, many of them African people. Okay. And they were fighting and killing each other so much. This is going to lead to the Berlin Conference of 1884 and 1885, where these European nations divide Africa up into colonies. and they redraw the geographical boundaries. So most of the geographical boundaries today of the 55 African nations largely come from the Berlin Conference of 1884 and 1885, and there was no African representation there. Okay, so we have to understand this chronology of history. Okay, so we'll continue with the class tonight, and these are some of the things that we'll get into. All right, follow us on our YouTube channel, Michael Imhotep, Imhotep on YouTube, and our Facebook fan page, The African History Network, The African History Network on Facebook, okay? Hey, I have to get out of here. Remember, at The African History Network, we focus on educating, empowering, and inspiring people of African descent throughout the diaspora and around the world. Because right knowledge corrects wrong behavior. What you do for yourself, what you do to yourself, and what you allow other people to do to you and get away with is based upon what you think about yourself. What you think about yourself is based upon what you have been taught about yourself. What you've been taught about yourself is based upon everything you've read, heard, and seen about yourself. Remember, right knowledge corrects wrong behavior. It's not over till we win. Wakanda forever. We'll talk to you next time. Peace.